Comic book writer Geoff Johns did what many thought impossible. He made Aquaman cool, a feat that only a Spartan could achieve. Johns, an MSU alumnus and this year's Grand Marshal for the Homecoming Parade in East Lansing, is DC Entertainment's chief creative officer. In addition to revamping Aquaman's image, Geoff has penned highly acclaimed stories featuring Superman, the Green Lantern, Teen Titans, and his childhood favorite, The Flash. Johns, who originally hails from Detroit, has also written for the TV shows Smallville and Arrow. Current State's Emmanuel Berry sat down with Johns to discuss why comic book heroes continue to survive.
The thing I love about writing comic books, and particularly writing characters that have been around forever, is that there's always untapped potential in them. And the reason these characters keep surviving and growing, and even right now, superheroes are in the media, as everyone knows, mm-hmm. more than they've ever been in television and film. And the great thing about comic books and the monthly comic book, like DC Comics, back in, you know, in the pulp era, you had characters like The Shadow and Dick Tracy and The Phantom. And because they stopped publishing those comic books, they became like that Mosquito and Amber in Jurassic Park. They just froze, right? Because mm-hmm. they didn't evolve. And DC, you had a guy named Julius Schwartz in the 50s and 60s who came on and reintroduced and reinvigorated all these characters, introduced a new concept on The Flash and a new concept on Green Lantern. And then in the 80s, DC Comics had all these creators coming in and doing new takes on Superman and Batman. That's when I really got into the comics. It was in the mid-80s, mid to late 80s. And it was all these new creative voices that were taking characters that were known but giving them a new spin and showing a different side of them, making them more complex. And because those characters got the benefit of different generational voices, that's why those characters still survive and that's why they're relevant, whereas Dick Tracy isn't so relevant, right?
Yeah, not so much anymore.
Not so much anymore because it got frozen in time. And the thing that is really important to these characters and the survival of these characters into the future is different creative voices. The voices that come in and explore these characters and lend themselves to these characters is what's going to keep them relevant forever.
Does your personal life and in your background and growing up in Michigan ever make its way into your comic book?
Oh, yeah. I think I've set more characters' origins and in Detroit and the air in Michigan and then I have any other character by far. When I was on The Flash, I actually modeled Keystone City, which was the city that he lived in at the time, after Detroit, because I thought, you know, a city that is a little bit more real and the people were real, diverse, and they made cars and tires because I'm like, you know, Flash is all about movement, right?
Yeah.
So, and I like Flash because he's such a grounded character. His feet are always on the ground. That's something I always was always very conscious of, is that Superman would fly around, you know, Wonder Woman would fly around, but Flash's feet were always on the ground and that had to carry through to who he was. So, and he was fast enough where he would save somebody and stop and, you okay? Mm-hmm. Everything good? And you know, if someone he ran by someone with a flat tire, he'd stop and change it.
It's a Midwestern
attitude. Very Midwestern attitude, right? It's just kind of, you know, very Midwestern attitude. And so that seeped into my work early on when I first took on Flash. And I still use it. I set Cyborg. I reintroduced this character, Cyborg. He was in the Teen Titans. He's in the Justice League now. And I wanted to elevate the character. And so I brought him onto the Justice League and made him a permanent fixture there. And so he's a member standing alongside Superman and Batman, and his origins from in Detroit. And you see it unfold in Detroit. And I set quite a few characters in Detroit.
In 2011, DC launched the New 52, where all the superhero titles were canceled and relaunched within the series, starting at issue number one, and then kind of wiping out the current continuity that had been up to that point. So in that process, there were some alterations with characters. What did it feel like to kind of have the freedom to, you know, take the Justice League or Shazam or the Green Lantern and start from kind of wherever you wanted?
It was, it's both daunting and also there's a responsibility to it. So when that happened, I was writing in particular Aquaman, Green Lantern, and Justice League. In the case of Green Lantern, I really didn't alter much because it was working and it had worked. I had a solid base of 7 years of storytelling that was had taken the title from kind of a B-lister in DC to an A-lister with three or four other titles around it. So Green Lantern was relatively untouched. With Aquaman, it was really just a matter of, for me, going back to the very basics, the core elements of what made that character.
Yeah, you made Aquaman
great.
Cool.
Thanks. Well, he's hard to do, right?
Yeah,
and
he
so
is.
What I did was when I approached it, I had written him before as kind of a superhero, but I wanted to take a real different approach with this because it was an opportunity for people to go, maybe I'll check out Aquaman. I was writing it with an artist named Ivan Reis, who's one of the best artists in the business, and it was going to be relaunched with all these other titles like Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, and I thought, well, people will probably give it a look maybe because they know who he is, and so the opportunity for me was to really look at this character and go, the perception is all he does is talk to fish and he can swim.
he's the laughing
right?
stock.
He's a laughing stock.
Yeah.
And so what I wanted to do is actually put that in the comic book because it never was. In the comic books, they'd overcompensate and he'd be really serious and grim. And what I wanted to do was explore, well, you know, this is a guy who grew up on land. His dad ran a lighthouse that warned ships away from the rocky shores and kind of protected them from the rough patches of land. And this kid grew up, and eventually he found out he had abilities to breathe underwater, and he was strong. And his father finally told him this ridiculous story he half believed, that his mother was from Atlantis. And when his father died, he went into the ocean to try and find Atlantis, and it took him a long, long time, but he did finally find it. And when he found it, he learned his mother was not only from Atlantis, she was the queen of Atlantis, and that he was inheriting the throne, and now he was king of Atlantis. And in all that backstory, he's like, this is not what I want. I don't feel like I'm a part of it. But they all hailed him as a king underwater. When he came on land, people saw him as a bit of a joke. And mm-hmm. so I really wanted to – in the first issue, we did a scene where he went to this fish restaurant where his dad used to take him after he stops his crime. And everyone's looking at him. It's like, you and he goes, what do you want? He goes, fish and chips. And like, you can't eat fish. And you talk to fish. And there's a whole scene where Aquaman has to deal with the perception of who he is to these people. And even though on land he's a bit of a joke, he prefers to be on land because it's his home. So by having the people in that book kind of reflect a little bit of what everyone kind of, the layman who don't read comics think, and putting it within the story and having it something he has to deal with initially – I think it connected him to more people because who hasn't felt like they've been ridiculed, right? Mm-hmm. Or made fun of or overlooked, or who hasn't felt like the underdog, who hasn't felt out of place, like an outsider? Everyone has on this planet. So suddenly he's a much more relatable character, actually. And he's more sympathetic, and he takes it, but he only takes it so much. And so when he takes out the people that need to be taken out, he just comes across as so much of a stronger character.
In the relaunch of this New 52, there was some backlash from fans who felt like, you kind of destroyed these characters and storylines that they had come back to for years. I guess, do you think that this makes the DC universe stronger? Or what's the reasoning behind it?
Well, I'm a huge fan of continuity and history. And when you read the book like Aquaman, there's a lot of the history in it that I held on to because I think it's important. So my biggest – and I understand when people – I mean, I get upset when history is reworked or wiped out. And for me, how I approach characters – I approach it just like I do everything. Like I approach Shazam like I do everything. I look at the core concept and find out, what are the immutables? What are the things that are vital to who the character is? Mm-hmm. What are the things that generation after generation in the comic books people have really grabbed onto and said, this is the essence of the character. You need to have the essence of it. And I think that's the most important thing. So for me, it was a chance for me in particular to get back to basics. And, my back to basics is holding on to the stuff that works and not changing things for the sake of change. That's how I approach each one of my books.
I think the representation of females and minorities in comics is something that is an issue across all media forms. But as a writer yourself, what are some of the things that you are trying to do or you want to do to better represent females and minority characters or represent your female minority readers in your work?
Sure. My father's Lebanese, and there's a big Lebanese community in mm-hmm. Detroit, as everyone probably knows. And so last year I actually created an Arab American character in Green Lantern, a new Arab American Green Lantern. And it got a lot of attention, and it was 90% positive, which is more than you could ever hope for. And we went down to the Arab American. I went to the Arab American Museum in Dearborn and did an event there, talked to kids, talked about the character. And really, when I created the character, there's a and I really am excited about it, but there's a very strong within DC and Warner Brothers, but there's a very strong drive to create diversity in our books, in our cast, and everything else. And so for me, working on characters like Cyborg and trying to elevate him into the Justice League, and is a prominent character in the Justice League, or introducing a character like Simon Baz, who's I think by far the most prominent Arab American superhero out there, and really his story dealt with I wanted his story to deal with that too, because you know post 9/11, you know, half my family is Lebanese, and there was a lot of backlash, and it gets crazy. Like there's backlash against. I remember there was some Indian shop owner who people were like, "Go back to like they know what he like." There's people that don't even understand.
It's very ignorant.
Yeah, it's super ignorant. And for me, I wanted to highlight the, you know, Green Lantern. The whole concept is that you get a ring because you can overcome fear. And traditionally, in Green Lantern comic books, that's been about, you know, all sorts of things, a lot of physical fear, a lot of, you know, emotional fear. But what I want to do is explore cultural fear. And so I wanted to have a character who was dealing with the misperceptions of, I think, what a lot of Arab Americans dealt with and still deal with. So that's why the character was created. And that's why his story, I think, resonated really strongly. But it's always top of mind to try and, you know, diversify and celebrate the, you know, for me, what makes America such a wonderful country is that it's every kind of culture together. That's strength is diversity. You know, I think unity is, that's going to lead to a very mundane life with unity homogeny. And then my first character ever actually was a character called Stargirl, who's female. And I wanted to, when I wrote her, my sister had passed away a couple years earlier, and I wanted to create a character that was inspired by her, but also characters she would read, because we used to make her read Lois Lane comics. And it's like, I wanted to create a superhero, a teenage girl superhero that teenage girls too could identify with. And that's where Stargirl came from, is my inspiration from my sister. I always approach storytelling though I try and do it not just from a gender or an ethnic point of view. I try and do it from just a human point of view, from a, how does it feel to be alive and connect with people? You know, because I think playing on themes of like the Aquaman thing of being undervalued or being, you know, having worse perception about you or being put down, I think that's universal. That doesn't apply to a single type of person. That's just being human and alive. And that's what I really strive for in my storytelling, is just to connect emotionally these characters with feelings that are universal. And that's what I enjoy doing.
Jeff Johns is the Chief Creative Officer of DC Entertainment and the Grand Marshal of MSU's Homecoming Parade.
Go Green!
Yeah, Jeff, thanks so much for your time today.
Sure, thank you.